It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwin. The U.S. House of Representatives has voted yet again to open part of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil exploration. It's the 10th time the House has approved drilling in the refuge. What the Senate will do with the bill is less certain. One thing is certain, though. A small army of lobbyists, consultants, direct mailers, advertisers, and activists will be on hand to try to sway votes. After decades of debate, no one has made a penny drilling for oil in the Arctic Refuge, but in Washington, D.C., it's already a gusher. Living on Earth's Jeff Young has a look at the cottage industry that's grown up around one of the country's most enduring environmental conflicts.
And makes a point of order that a quorum is not present. Evidently, a quorum is not present. Under the rule, the yeas and nays are ordered. Members will record their votes by electronic device.
Congress has voted on drilling in the Arctic Refuge, or ANWR, as it's known here, so many times now, it seems the only thing to add to the debate is why they seem to do it every year. California Republican Representative Devin Nunes thinks he knows why.
One of the reasons that this continues to be used as propaganda by the environmental community is because it's their number one source of fundraising throughout the country to use in political campaigns.
The proof, Nunes says, is in the many email alerts and postcards telling drilling opponents to call Congress and send money. The defenders of wildlife will even send you a plush toy polar bear. It's not clear how much cash stuffed polar bears bring in. Defenders of wildlife declined to comment. Their tax records show $23 million in direct contributions last year. So are environmental groups just milking a cash cow here?
No. I think to argue that ANWR is the number one fundraiser for environmental community is way overstating things.
That's Chris Basso, a Tufts University political science professor and author of the book Environment, Inc. Basso says it's true, many environmental groups seek support for the Arctic fight. But if they were hyping the issue purely to make money, as Congressman Nunes charges, they would quickly lose the most valuable thing they have— the trust of their donating members.
These organizations are, at the end of the day, responsive to their donors, because if they don't do what the donors want, you can go somewhere else. You can give your money to another organization. So organizations are very careful about their currency of the realm. The currency of the realm is their reputation as legitimate advocates for cause. And if you screw up that legitimacy, you have big trouble.
Basso says the only groups that can raise funds on the Arctic issue are the ones with long records in protecting wildlife and wilderness and changing energy policy, the issues at the heart of the Arctic drilling debate. Pete Rafel is a spokesperson for the Wilderness Society.
The Arctic National Wildlife Refuge is in the DNA of the Wilderness Society.
Rafel says the Wilderness Society's interest in protecting the Alaskan wilds dates to the 1930s. The group got $26 million in direct contributions last year. But Rafel says money raised for the Arctic Refuge goes to that effort.
Well, no one is getting rich trying to protect the Arctic Refuge. Every dollar that comes in here gets spent working to protect this place. And we'd like nothing better than to move on to other issues. But as long as it comes up in Congress, we're going to have to raise and spend money to protect it.
Rafel offers few specifics on how that money is spent. Tax records show the Wilderness Society gave direct mail company SMS Direct hundreds of thousands of dollars to print up things like postcard appeals to protect the Arctic. Among SMS Direct's other clients is the Republican National Committee, which wants to drill in the Arctic. And there's a hint as to who's really found a gusher in the Arctic debate. The direct mailers, pollsters, and consultants who make up the Washington public opinion machine, some of them working both sides of the argument.
It is no secret that consultants that have specialized in this have made a lot of money, especially in recent years.
That's Sheila Krumholtz with the Center for Responsive Politics, a nonprofit that tracks money in Washington. Krumholtz says the real money in the Arctic debate is with those who want to drill.
Oil and gas has spent millions of dollars, $200 million since 1989, on campaign contributions, $46 million just in the last year on lobbying. And the environmental groups really can't hold a candle to that.
The two main groups advocating drilling in the refuge are Arctic Power and the Arctic Regional Slope Corporation. Krumholtz says the member companies of those groups gave $10 million in campaign cash in 5 years. Add up the campaign spending by environmental groups, and it's about 3% of that. Of course, not all the money the oil industry spends in Washington is just about Arctic drilling. The industry has a lot on its plate. But Krumholz says the bigger the money, the greater the access.
That money opens up doors in Congress. So this is a very useful tool to have in their toolkit as they are lobbying on a whole host of issues, among them Anwar.
The latest to tap into that money is a public relations firm based in Oregon called PacWest. The firm won a controversial $3 million no-bid contract from the state of Alaska to push for Arctic drilling. Tom Randall is a consultant on the PacWest PR team, using a mix of lobbying, advertising, and what he calls grassroots campaigning.
Well, grassroots are very effective. We do grassroots political campaigns. Every campaign for president has a grassroots component because that's one of the ways that you can reach people.
Randall says the grassroots part is called Americans for American Energy, which generates pro-drilling letters to Congress and editors of local papers. Randall says Americans for American Energy is essentially one worker paid by PacWest.
Sure.
Is it really grassroots, though? I mean, if a PR firm is getting $3 million to carry out a campaign, that's not what I think most people think of when they hear grassroots.
It's grassroots if it gets a grassroots response. If other people in the grassroots join in and that effort is multiplied, then you have a grassroots movement.
Randall says he thinks this approach will work. He predicts a Senate vote to drill the Arctic Refuge by the end of this session. If he's right, it could be bad news for those striking it rich on the Anwar debate. Again, political money tracker Krumholz.
It'll be a bittersweet victory for those consultants should Anwar pass, because they will no longer be able to reap the rewards that they have been in the last few years.
For Living on Earth, I'm Jeff Young in Washington.